NC Winston-Salem.
Welcome to a special edition of Rams Coach's Corner, the go-to place for all things Rams athletics, with WSNC color analyst Alan Chavis. Coach's Corner begins now.
And welcome to the campus of Winston-Salem State University. My name is Alan Chavis. This is the Coach's Corner, where we try to bring you the perspective of each coach for each sport. And today, we're giving you a little bit more for your money. We got a two-for-one in here today. Probably two of the hottest names on campus right now. We got, he's not fresh out of the oven, but he's still cooking. That's the new head coach of your Winston-Salem State men's basketball team, Mr. Jay Butler. And also with him is newly minted, now permanent in the chair, the new athletic director, Mr. Eric Burns. Gentlemen, thank you for coming. We appreciate your time. Thank you for joining me here on the Coach's Corner.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
All right, Coach, I'm going to turn to you first. People had a lot of questions about you taking this job. You were probably in what many considered the CIAA, the other blue blood job in this conference. I mean, you know, there's a lot of programs with history. Winston-Salem State, Virginia Union, probably can throw Smith in there. But what made you decide to make that move? Was it just a new challenge you were looking for? You thought you did everything you could do at Union, and it's time to open up a new perspective for you? Or is it just there's an opportunity I think I need to take?
It was just a great opportunity. So when I got the call from A.D. Burns, and I had been talking to Coach Terry, you know, toward the end of the year. And, you know, I saw Coach Terry and I, we were very close, so we talk all the time. And just the atmosphere and the buzz, both of us were having a great year, both were top 25 in the country. And I just saw, you know, just the alumni, and you know, I saw the Chancellor Brown at the CIAA tournament, and then the fans in the stands, and it was just another great opportunity for me, a historic program. You know, I was blessed to play for Dave Robbins, you know, one of the best coaches in the HBCU.
One of the deans of the CIAA.
Yeah, so just, you know, I've been, you know, playing for one of the best coaches. I had the opportunity to coach at Virginia Union for 11 years. You know, that was a dream job of mine. You know, but when you look down the road at Winston-Salem, there's a lot of history, you know, Big House Gaines, and you got Earl of Pearl, you got Cleo Hill at 1967 national champs. So it was just another challenge. You know, I love chasing legacy and love chasing history. And, you know, it was just a great opportunity for me to come in and get Winston-Salem back to the top of the CIAA.
So you had mentioned Coach Terry. You and she has talked quite a bit. How much did she whisper in your ear when she thought, when you kind of let it out the bag that you might be thinking about coming down this way?
Oh, we talk every day. It was Terry's a big time recruiter. I mean, every day we would talk, and you know, she said, "Jay, I think you'll do well." And we so close, and I was so happy for her because I seen the work that she put in at Virginia Union, and I told her that she was going to be great when she got to Winston-Salem. So she played a part, and I spoke with Chancellor Brown and spoke with A.D. Burns. I called him my big three because you know they made it, you know, point that you say you our guy. And, you know, when you get that opportunity, you get that call, you know, it's just one of those things where I took over Virginia Union with 7 wins, and we were 1 game from winning going to the CIAA championship. And, you know, took over that program with 7 wins, and we turned it into a top 25 program. When I was at UDC, we turned that program into a top 25 program. So now, you know, Winston-Salem coming off of 7 wins, you know, my goal every year is to win 20 games, to play on Saturday night in NCAA tournament bid.
Most definitely. And that stint you did at UDC really speaks to the kind of coach you are, because I remember me, a fresh kid out of Georgia, and I went to St. Aug, and I was like, who is UDC? And they just kind of put that, they kind of used to use UDC as fodder at the beginning of the season, because they weren't necessarily at that time Division II. So a lot of Division II teams brought them in. to kind of pump up their record before the start of the season, before conference play started.
Right, right.
And for you to go to a program like that and make them a power, that says a lot about the program and what you instill in these young men. Mr. Burns.
Yes, sir.
Let me turn to you right here. You probably the hottest interim AD, now the permanent AD. You've hired home run hires for football. You got the alumni buzzing about your football hire. Alumni over the moon about your basketball hire. You got a CIAA championship in women's basketball. You got a CIAA championship in women's flag football. You've got a CIAA championship in track. What can't you do right now? You just started. I mean, this was when you were interim. Now, what do you got for your second act now that you're a permanent AD?
Hey, nah, I say, you know, God is good. We've been blessed to have some really great coaches, you know, and I see my role as just making sure we have the resources. You know, we give them the proper resources and equip them, you know, with the opportunity to be successful. You know, Winston-Salem has a rich tradition of winning. So when I was appointed interim, you know, I told the chancellor, I said, you know, we have to restore the standard. We have to get back to that standard of winning and being dominant. And so, you know, that's the goal, you know, right now. That is to restore us to a position to where we are that dominant force in the CIAA. And as well in getting out on the national scene as well. And we've begun to do that, you know, this year with women's basketball.
And you said the word. There's two things I want to come back and circle back to. You said resources and then you said national. This is a program that I think strives ever since the Connell Maynard days when he put it out in the ether that he was going to win a national championship, that this athletic department is now striving to be a national power, not in just football but in basketball across the board. We want to be mentioned with the teams like Grand Valley State and Colorado Pueblo and Minnesota State and places of that nature. You have experience playing on the national scale. What does it take for a program to consistently, Coach Butler, to compete on that particular level?
This day and time, you definitely got to have the resources. You know, you're dealing with the NCAA portal, and you just got a lot of NIL money out there. So the resources, and then you got to have, you know, you can win a lot of games with a lot of good players, but mm-hmm. you win championship with administration. And it starts with the top. Chancellor Brown, A.D. Burns, their goal is to make all sports at Winston-Salem State, you know, on a national level. And from day one, I stepped foot at UDC. I was striving to be on a national level. When I got the union, I would restore it, you know, getting back to the national level. And Winston-Salem, that's my goal. You know, every year, you know, we set the foundation and the blueprint is to, you know, win 20-plus games. And we want to be top 25 in the country. We want to make it to the NCAA. We want to play on Saturday night, you know, for the CIAA championship. And it's like this year we were blessed, you know, anytime you can beat a West Liberty team that's nationally ranked.
Mm-hmm.
And we beat them twice this year. So that's the goal. And like I said, I'm excited about the opportunity. I just think, you know, Winston-Salem is, you know, academic excellence, you know, athletic-wise, got a historic program. And it's just a great opportunity for me right now.
You beat West Liberty twice. Those guys come chucking it from the parking lot right off the bus.
They can shoot it.
They shoot it, and they shoot it well, and they shoot it from a long way away. So if you're beating them, you're cooking with gas. Both of you said resources, and that appears to be the mother's milk. I've sat with many a coach in here over the years that I've been doing this show, and they have always talked about resources. Now, we've had a recent influx of that, but Coach Butler, looking from the outside in, was that also a drawing factor here that you might have an opportunity to work with an actual budget for a bigger budget, let me put it that way?
That definitely was a draw, you know. Mm-hmm. And then also the atmosphere in the games.
Mm-hmm.
The atmosphere in the game center is something special, probably top in the country. And you know, to get an opportunity to play games in the game center and, you know, recruit, you know, high student athletes, you know, from all over the country. You know, Winston-Salem State is, like I said, got a lot of history, a lot of tradition. And like I said, we want to bring guys in that's going to develop on and off the court, you know, and be good young men when they finish up their basketball careers and be able to move on and be successful in life. But, you know, right now, you know, I'm here to, you know, get these guys in and get back to the winning ways and get back to the top of the CIAA.
A.D. Burns, like I said, you've had some home run hires here just as an interim. When you interviewed these fellas, what was it about both of them, the Torrey Woodbury and Coach Butler, that stood out to you that made you say, well, this is the man I need to lead this program?
Yeah. Great question. When I talked to both coaches, one thing that stood out was they all spoke about character and having, you know, recruiting guys of high integrity. And so it was more about developing men and, you know, life beyond the court or the field. And so that really resonated because we know at Division II, a lot of our student athletes, they go on to be professionals in careers versus mm-hmm. professionals in sports. And so for me, that was a very big plus for both of them, understanding that they're really concerned about developing the holistic student athlete, that, again, it's bigger than the field and the court.
So before you decided to pursue this job, and I know everybody kind of does this on the outside looking in, when you think, man, if I get in this chair, if I get this job, this is what I want to do. What is your 50,000-foot view of the athletics department as a whole right now?
I say opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came in as interim, I was brought in really looking at helping the program become more sustainable. We had the resources, and it was, you know, how were we using the resources? Were we allocating the resources in the right way to move the program forward? And so that became, you know, my focus coming in. When I switched seats, you know, like I said, I didn't realize how hot it was in that other seat, you mm-hmm. know, but once I got in it, I realized, you know, it was a full-fledged fire, mm-hmm. you know. But now I had to take a different perspective on it from a more visionary standpoint. Mm-hmm. So it became less of the day-to-day. Now, how do we move the program forward for the next 3 years? You know, and what needs to be in place? What is it going to take? But also aligning what I would say would be my vision along with the vision of the chancellors. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the chancellors, her new strategic plan released, you know, We Are Rising. Mm-hmm. And so from that, in that strategic plan was We Are Winston-Salem. And so that's where athletics falls under, that We Are Winston-Salem. So it becomes bigger than, you know, just what are we doing right now here on campus, but mm-hmm. also how are we viewed, you know, regionally, you know, nationally, globally. And mm-hmm. so my focus had to change to, you know, again, begin to project out and see, you know.
More of the big picture.
That's right.
Your background was in finance, so I would assume that kind of really just dovetailed into what you're doing now, correct?
Correct.
Coach Butler, man, I follow you on social media, and I think is this the first time you actually been on campus? Because every time I see you on social media, you somewhere else other than Winston-Salem. You have really hit the ground running. I don't know how many kids have returned from this team, and you're kind of in a situation that the previous coach was in when he took the job, that he had to rip it down to the studs and start over again. You appear to be bringing in some rather interesting prospects from your travels. Talk a little bit about the team that you're trying to build and what makes your kind of team. What is the kind of team that you want to go into battle with?
My kind of team is basically a defensive-minded team mm-hmm. that come in and, you know, with the mindset that we're going to defend at a high level. You know, we were blessed to be number one in the country this mm-hmm. year defensively. So that's the first thing. Defense win championships. And then we also want guys that want to be student-athletes. You know, they want to come in and do the work in the classroom and, you know, vested in the community. And, you know, sometimes it's bigger than basketball. So, mm-hmm. you know, we got to come in and and set the foundation. And we want to recruit young guys where, you know, with the NCAA portal, everybody goes into the portal and get transferred. We want our foundation to be good high school kids. So we went out and really looked at some good high school kids, and then we definitely going, you know, peek into that NCAA portal because you know, in the Division II level, you need some grown men.
Yes, sir.
And you know, we're gonna get some transfers, but right now we just really looking to just get guys that want to be at Winston-Salem State. They want to be here and want to come in and put the work in. And get the program back to, you know, at the top of the CIAA and ultimately competing nationally. You know, so right now I'm excited about the guys that we got, that we're recruiting right now. You're still waiting to get the final ink on them, to sign them. But right now I'm excited. Excited about the opportunity kids want to come in and play at Winston-Salem State.
You mentioned the portal, and that is a big thing across all athletic platforms. But I understand how it works in football, but how does the portal work in basketball? Because that seems to be a little bit different animal. Although, and what is your philosophy as far as transfers and the portal? You said you wanted to build with high school kids, but you got to supplement with the guys from the portal. What is your, because a lot of coaches have different standards for different players. What is your standard for a kid that's looking to come here out of the portal?
Come out of the portal, they got to be willing to come in and play for something bigger than themselves. You know, got to come in and put Winston-Salem State first. And I think when they come in and they buy in, it got to be full buy-in. I think our team this year, we were 25-6, top 25 in the country, and we had full buy-in. And like I said, that's the one thing that when I'm recruiting, I'm telling them, like, you know, we can come in day one and compete right away in the CIAA, but it got to be full buy-in. So we're looking for kids that when we come in, and, you know, from day one, work hard, extremely hard, and do well in the strength and conditioning, you know, do well in the classroom, you know, be vested in the community. And then good things going to happen on the court. And just stack good days. And I think as long as we stack good days, I think, you know, each month we just want to keep getting better and better. And around the CIAA time, kind of hit our stride. But we just want good kids that want to come in and get better each day.
Usually the CIAA is like a guard-driven league. It's always been that way as far as I've been watching the CIAA, and there's been a ton of great guards come through this. And I was at St. Aug when I think you could consider the golden era of the CIAA, when Norfolk was here, when Hampton was in, and St. Aug was in there a little bit, and Shaw, and Winston-Salem State. And when you had guys like Ralph Talley and cats like that in the CIAA, do you prefer a more guard-driven team? Or are you looking to get some size on the floor? Usually CIAA is kind of up and down the floor kind of league. You don't really see much size. You don't see too many 6'10 guys running around in CIAA.
Yeah, I'm a defensive-minded guy, so you know, I'm looking for length, long and athletic. You know, we play our circle defense. Everybody pretty much in the country now know about it. So we need length on our back line, and need quick guards, you know, to get after and defend at a high level. And like I said, we're looking for, you know, to play up tempo, but we're going to be a very disciplined team on the offensive end.
So are you kind of looking to play positionless basketball? You got a bunch of wings out there, probably anywhere from 6'5", 6'9", that can kind of
– Definitely. On that back line, we want 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". Got a couple of 6'11", 7-footers. We want to protect the rim. You know, protect the rim, like I said. Number one in the country defensively, that's the one thing that I'm going to be chasing, you know, from day one. You know, we want to continue to be top in the country defensively. And you know, at the end of the day, defense wins championships.
A.D. Burns, let me ask you this. There has been a lot of talk about WSSU as a brand now. And just from my opinion, I don't think that brand has necessarily been marketed the best here in the last few years. Do you have an overall marketing strategy for WSSU Athletics as an actual brand? Is there something that we're going to be seeing coming up to capitalize on that? Because this is a draw. WSSU draws wherever they go. But I don't think we've taken advantage of maybe our profile in the CIAA. Is there something that you're working on or could initiate or something off in the future? You know, I have to lay out on your whole deal right now. But just saying, just something that to take advantage or boost the brand of WSSU.
Now, that is one thing that coming in, I realized that, again, we start talking about that history and that rich tradition. Mm-hmm. And so some of the legacy, and I realized that we haven't taken full advantage of it. So sometimes you make assumptions, right? So mm-hmm. when I came in, I was like, we have, you know, Big House, Earl the Pearl, you know, Coach Hayes was a legend coaching mm-hmm. while he was here. And so one of the things I was looking at was forming a basketball invitational. So mm-hmm. as this year we look at it, it may have to be on the front end more like an exhibition, but what I was calling a House of Pearl. Mm-hmm. So this would be a basketball tournament, so to speak. But, again, playing as an exhibition where we would honor Big House, right, Big House Games. But at the same time, we would pay homage to Earl the Pearl. Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed is that we don't have a endowment for Earl the Pearl. Mm-hmm. So this would be the funding generated from this event would be used to try to start an endowment for Earl the Pearl to preserve his legacy. Mm-hmm. In the same vein, following back up the following year, we're looking at how do we get a Bill Hayes football classic, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, again, capitalizing on some of the strengths and assets that are already here. And, you know, those that are familiar with Winston-Salem, those names are synonymous with Winston-Salem. You know, it's kind of an automatic. You know, mm-hmm. if you ask somebody, hey, I'm at Winston-Salem State. Oh, that's Big House Games. Or, you know, so it's, you know, again, just capitalizing on some of the strengths that already exist here and, you know, some of those assets.
Now, again, I asked Coach about his philosophy with the NIL and the portal. How does your office fit into how that money is distributed as far as NIL? Is it left to the actual coaches themselves? Do you offer guidance? Is there a pool? How does that work?
Well, so right now we don't have a NIL policy in place. Mm-hmm. I work with Attorney Brown and his team. And we've established a policy that we've presented to the chancellor. We're waiting to have a meeting with her. And so really with NIL, we want to make sure we put some guardrails around mm-hmm. How we approach it so everyone understands. And also providing some education, you know, to the donors so they understand what they can do, can't do. But as it relates to how will we distribute the funding, it's – I think a lot of times everyone wants to be associated with the winner, the star. So, you know, in our world of NIL, you know, you actually have to do something to earn the funding. Mm-hmm. So it's not mm-hmm. a rev share model at Division I, you know.
Yeah.
So you actually have to earn that, right, mm-hmm. from your name, image, and likeness. So right now, we presented a policy, you know, to the chancellor. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we'll be able to move forward. We do realize that is a hot button, if you will, something that we really need to move quickly on. Because, again, you know, as Coach stated, when you start talking about recruiting, mm-hmm. You almost can't recruit a kid now without them saying, well, Coach, what kind of NIL you got for mm-hmm. me? So, you know, it's a real thing for us, and it's something that we are definitely looking into. Like I said, right now we're just trying to put some guardrails or policy in place to kind of govern ourselves.
Yeah, when that thing came out, it didn't seem like it was touching D2 all that much, but here in the last few years, I think it's really become prevalent. And like you said, kids are actually looking for that now. Coach, have you had to make pitches to kids saying, well, you know, I can't really about the NIL, but we can see what we can see? Is that kind of how it is now, or do you have something that you can offer these kids concrete? You don't have to say what it is, but just, you know.
right now, all I can offer is a scholarship and an opportunity to be, you know, able to come into one of the, you know, the best HBCUs in the country. Mm-hmm. And the opportunity to play for Coach Butler, and like I said, we're going to have an opportunity day one to compete on a high level, and you're going to get your education paid for it, and you're going to get a great opportunity to play on the national level. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, the opportunity to, you know, going in in the direction of the NIL, so I'm excited about that. You know, but right now, you know, all we could do is really offer, you know, that scholarship right
yes,
now
sir.
And a great opportunity. Like I said, you know, Winston-Salem State is one of the top HBCUs in the country. So that's you know, what we can offer at this moment.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Dave Robbins, because I know he's had a big influence on you, who else has shaped your coaching philosophy? Who's helped shaped you as a coach?
My dad. My mm-hmm. dad coached me ever since I was four, and he coached me all the way up till I was 18. Mm-hmm. You know, we played on it was called Allentown Go-Getters. Mm-hmm. At that time, we won three national championships. So played with Dwayne Simpkins, that coach at American University, mm-hmm. Mike Jones, that coach at ODU, Lutiki Colombo, Greg Williams played at the University of Florida. So we won three national championships, and I learned a lot from my dad just coaching. He coached on the girls' side and the men's side. So I kind of had that path. I had a balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't look at, you know, women's or men. I just look at, you know, just the player.
Yeah, because you've coached women before as well, too.
Yeah, I coached on the women's side for 14 years. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the reasons why Coach Terry and I are pretty close. I love the women's game. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my friends are, you know, on the women's side. So it's my dad. He laid the foundation for me to go right into coaching. I think, you know, a lot of guys want to play overseas and in the pros, but I think my mind was set that I was going to be a basketball coach on the college level. And, you know, I'm blessed to get this opportunity now.
A.D. Burns, let me ask you a question. As far as in my bailiwick here is football, so what's your philosophy as far as in football scheduling? Will we look for more classics against FBS opponents? You know, we played A&T a couple years ago, Central a few years before that. Or will we seek not to schedule some of the – will we look to schedule some of the D2 powers that are around in this area, the Catawbas, the Wingates, the teams like that, because those D2 games help you when it comes to playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
But the classic games help you at the cash register. So how do you strike a balance between that?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So mm-hmm. For me first, I'm always going to involve the coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to defer to the coach so we understand what type of talent we have. You know, the last thing we want to do is try to go find the money game mm-hmm. and end up losing – a lot of your starters, you know, for the sake of trying to chase a check, so to speak. But I think we're going to, you know, for us is trying to build a good schedule. You know, again, I leave that to the coaches, mm-hmm. you know, in looking for them as far as guidance to build a strong schedule. Ones that's going to, you know, bring the fans out, games that people would like to see. But at the same time, looking at the balance, you know, we know ultimately if we're trying to get to that on, you know, the national scene, that we do need to play some of those D2 powerhouses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's something that we're going to have to start looking at. But at the same time, you know, we don't want to step out there and, you know, try to go play a Division I school for mm-hmm. the, you know, to try to get $50,000 and then mm-hmm. come back and now your season is upended because you lost your starting, you know, two starting quarterbacks, you know, or something like that. So I think we'll be strategic in our approach. But again, for me, I'm always going to look at the coaches to, you know, when they, far as from a scheduling standpoint, to mm-hmm. make sure that we're ready when we go out looking for our teams to play.
Coach, what's your philosophy as far as the out-of-conference schedule at the beginning of the year? Are you looking to be giant killers? Or are you trying to build up your team's confidence? Or just does it matter? Or does it really matter as far as your team's confidence or what you think you're coming out of out of training camp?
For the last 20 years, I kind of made my mind up as a player. We played a tough schedule, and mm-hmm. we were always number one in the country. So my mindset has always been, you know, to play a national schedule and prepare the guys early on for that stretch mm-hmm. down for the CIAA tournament and ultimately to give yourself a chance to make mm-hmm. the NCAA. So for me, strength of schedule is huge. I like to come out and play those tough games early in the conference challenge and, you know, and kind of get yourself out there to see where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, we want to play a tough schedule so we have the opportunity to make the NCAA. I think we had two automatic bids, mm-hmm, out of my eight NCAAs. We had six at large.
Mm-hmm.
So we was actually, you know, blessed to be, you know, in the top eight six times. So strength of schedule is huge for me. Yeah,
that it seems to play, strength of schedule seems to play a little bit bigger role in basketball than it does necessarily in football. But as long as you're playing D2 opponents, I think they do take strength of schedule as far as football is concerned into consideration, but it's about the D2 wins that you have when it comes to playoff time. And a lot of those FBS games you would think would count, but they don't. The selection committee really turns their nose up as far as you playing an A&T or North Carolina Central. Even if you win those games, doesn't count toward the D2 playoffs. A.D. Burns, we've had a bit of an influx in some revenue to come into the institution as a whole. Some of that's going to trickle into athletics. Have there been any goals or plans made for any of that extra revenue that's coming in? Are there going to be any facility improvements, slight here? You know, I heard talk of a new scoreboard or something like that at Bowman Gray. Is there any upgrades happening at the Gaines Center? Anything that you can lay out now that you don't have to let any cats out of the bag or anything like that as far as
yeah.
so use of that revenue?
Yeah, so when you say influx, and mm-hmm, are you speaking of the gambling receipts,
yeah,
piece?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think there's a misconception about how those gambling receipts, like what they do for the budget.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, for us, they come in as budget relief.
Okay.
You know, it's not a influx and where we have a surplus. You know, it's really for us right now budget relief. Now, mm-hmm, it's my job now to scrub that budget and look at how these, you know, how we've allocated funds in the past,
mm-hmm,
to, you know, to make sure that we are sustainable in our efforts to address some of those capital projects and, you know, facility upgrades. And so that is one of the pillars of my vision, is looking at facility enhancement and upgrades. We do have some opportunities that will be coming up that, you know, we're, you know, discussing, you know, with the chancellor. And and we do recognize that, you know, we have older facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, how we move and how we go about addressing them, and is there a way that we can begin to make some, I guess, modern efforts to improve in certain areas. But to address your comment about the scoreboard,
mm-hmm,
that was a kind of a joint effort with NASCAR, the city, and Winston-Salem State.
Mm-hmm.
NASCAR footed the majority of the bill, and the city of Winston-Salem, as well as WSSU, we contributed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that scoreboard is currently up, and we will be you know, taking full advantage of it this year.
When you went into your office, even as the interim, what was the first thing you saw that you're like, that I can fix right now?
So because I have a financial background,
mm-hmm,
so that was the first thing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I can handle this.
You check the books. Right? Okay, I got you.
So I can, because the thing was, is a lot of people say, oh, you have a, you know, you have a budget problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we don't have a budget problem. We have a spending problem.
Well, yeah.
So we can fix this real quick.
Uh-huh.
You know, we can cut down on some of the spending, you know, and really, you know, kind of tighten up on the wallet a little,
mm-hmm,
bit, you know. But you know, that was the first thing. Anytime, you know, everyone's looking for, I don't say everyone, but oftentimes you look for that easy win. What is something I can do, this staple, to say, hey, I can address this right now, head,
mm-hmm,
on. And so I knew I could do, you know, we could make some noise with that. But also I knew I would have an opportunity coming up with like you said, the hire. So,
mm-hmm,
when I came in, it was on we were coming at the end of football season.
Mm-hmm.
And so knew coming in with, you know, hiring of Coach Woodbury, a lot of the, you know, alums were, you know, excited about us bringing a former Ram back that, you know, was here in the glory days, had to hear that, you know, had won CIAA championships, you know, Hall of Famers. So I knew I would have that opportunity to kind of, you know, move the program forward and in the right direction there.
Was it, and I guess the word I'm searching for, I guess I'm using awkward, you were the interim, but mm-hmm. you were making some main man type decisions with the interim tag. You ever thought, what if they don't hire me?
You know, at one point, I can't say I didn't. You know, I mean, I think that always in the interim across your mind, what if I don't get it? But I knew if I wanted it, I had to move as if I was the right person for the job. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at it as, okay, it's my job to lose. So I'm auditioning right now. Mm-hmm. So whoever comes behind me, you know, whoever is interviewing behind me, you know, I'm going to make it tough for them. I'm going to make the decision tough on the chancellor and the committee. So mm-hmm. that was my goal.
Coach Burns. I'm sorry. Coach Butler, excuse me. I keep going back and forth. I got both sets of questions here, and I keep flying back and forth. Coach Butler, when you recruit, is there a specific area you like to go? I know you're from that DMV area. A lot of good ball that way. I'm from Georgia. A lot of good ball down that way. I think you were out in California, or was it Vegas or California?
California.
Is there a particular area that you get your ball players from? Because they have, you know, everybody talks about the kids from New York. They got a different kind of swagger about them. The kids from down south, the kids from California have a different way to play. What's your favorite kind of player to recruit? Or is there a particular area you like to get you guys from?
Of course. I'm from the D.C. area, so the DMV is, you know, is probably my go-to. You know, I recruit hard in the D.C. area. And being from, you know, coming from Virginia Union, you know, pretty much the state of Virginia, you know, further down south to Tidewater area. But, you know, since I've been at Winston, I always would get calls. And I used to tell the guys, I said, hey, I don't really want to come down to North Carolina and fight all those schools. But I always had, you know, friends and coaches that were, you know, reach out. So those coaches, we maintained relationships. And when I accepted the job at Winston-Salem, you know, you can see for some of the kids out on social media that North Carolina is really, really, I mean, kids want to come to Winston-Salem. And, you know, and I tell the parents, you know, you might like Coach Butler a little bit, but once you get to this campus, you're going to fall in love with Winston-Salem. And that's been our, you know, right now recruiting is the kids love Winston-Salem State. And we recruit in the state of North Carolina. But, you know, nationally, you know, Winston-Salem historically, you know, you can go out and recruit out California, out Texas. So we're going to, you know, if you can play, we're going to find you.
I heard Coach Cleo Hill sit there and say something similar to that. He said, I was having to turn kids away because everybody wants to come play at Winston-Salem State. And that's what, and getting back to you, A.D. Burns, about, you know, marketing that brand. Everybody wants to come here, it seems, for no matter what sport. What is it about Winston-Salem State that draws or has that kind of atmosphere, that kind of drawing power? For kids that may have never set foot on campus?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, and let me say this. When I was UNCG, you know, I would see things that were going on with Salem State, you know, when they were winning, and I always heard the term Ramilly. So I was like, well, man, what is the Ramilly, you know? And so, but it was like day one when I got here, it was like a different energy that you just feel, that it's just like, you know, every day is like a big homecoming. Like you come in and, you know, it's an experience that it's hard to describe, you know, but you know this is the right place for me. You know, this is the place to be. And so when I talk to recruits, when they, you know, coaches bring them in and I ask them, I said, well, you know, tell me something, you know, that you like about the campus. And everything starts with, oh, man, the energy is different here. It's just a whole different vibe, you know. It's, you know, all the students, you know, they just welcome you. And you know, and so I think, you know, again, it's that energy. It's contagious, you know. So when prime example, we were at the CIAA tournament this year. You know, again, had an NBA player come down, and he just fell in love with Winston-Salem, and so everybody kind of took it and ran with it and made their own story about who was going to be the coach, you know. But, but, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, Winston-Salem had, it's like a magnet. Mm-hmm. And if I could describe it as such. And so it's so attractive that if you get close to it, it kind of just pulls you in and just, you know, kind of wraps its arm around you. And before mm-hmm. you know it, you're just engulfed in, you know, again, that the love and the support. And, it's real. You feel that, you know, it's like I said, it's just like another homecoming, you know.
Coach, you feel that vibe when you hit campus?
From day one, mm-hmm. I brought my daughter down for a campus tour.
Oh, and congratulations. I saw that you said your daughter.
I'm excited. I'm excited.
Has decided daughter. To come here?
Yes, yes, yes. So we came down for a campus tour, and she just loved it. And I'm walking around like I never been on Winston-Salem campus just mm-hmm. to go to the gym. And I always knew about the atmosphere. But when I stepped foot on campus and did the tour, mm-hmm. I really wanted to go back to school. So I was excited for my daughter, and I was happy that she chose Winston-Salem. And like I said, you know, Terry, we talk every day, and, you know, we both, you know, made it to the NCAA, and I'm talking to her each day. And I said, Terry, who's all those people that was behind you at the game? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, that was fans. Mm-hmm. And then she said, oh, the cheerleaders, the powerhouse is coming tomorrow, and mm-hmm. the band. And I just was like, oh, wow. So it was just the atmosphere, the Ramley love, and it just kind of drew me in. And as more and more, as the opportunity kept presenting itself, as more and more I just kind of said, hey, I need to take a look at this.
Well, get ready, Coach, because this is probably the most traveling fan base. I know in football we are never alone wherever we go. Mm-hmm. There's somebody there that's got your back. So definitely in basketball, they do travel as well. I know I asked Coach Woodbury this, and he kind of danced around it. I asked him who was the team that he wanted to beat the most now that he's back in Winston. He said Norfolk State because he just left there. Okay. And that was a real diplomatic answer. But who is it that, and it doesn't necessarily even have to be here, who did you enjoy beating the most when you were at Union or your other stops, especially in CIAA?
A good friend of mine, Lonnie Blow. Oh. The Virginia Union, Virginia State rivalry was, you know, and he was a good friend of mine mm-hmm. and a great coach.
He but did that, well when he was at St. Aug, too, and he left St. Aug to go to Virginia State and really turned that program around as well. So, yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, that battle of 95, that's a pretty special rivalry. But I'm excited about the Winston-Salem and Livingstone, Winston-Salem and John C. Smith,
yes,
Winston-Salem and Fayetteville. You know, now we're going to the 22-game composite, you know, but I was looking forward to the South. You know, because, you know, you play on once, now you're going to play everybody twice. So.
Oh, yes, sir. It's definitely the Dirty South.
Yeah. CIAA is tough. So yes, sir. Every game you got to show up and be ready.
And the thing I think nobody understands, and we see this as a broadcast crew as we go across the different sports that we cover, we're everybody's Super Bowl. Yeah. It doesn't matter what we're playing, even if it's an exhibition or a scrimmage. We're everybody's homecoming. You know, we bring the fans, and everybody wants to beat Winston for whatever reason. Outside looking in, I've been doing this since the 90s over here from St. Aug, and it's just – and you're right. It's a different kind of swagger that the Rams walk in your arena with. And call it arrogance if you want. Call it athletic arrogance. Call it fan base arrogance, but – it's a different kind of vibe when Winston shows up, and we are everybody's top team that they want to beat. I mean, people celebrated. Oh, man, you should have saw when we dropped that game to Livingstone a couple years ago. You'd think they won the lottery and the Super Bowl on the same day. But it's just that way. Are you ready for that kind of – and I know Union – has their own kind of, you know, Union has been a villain in the CIAA for a long time. So I know you understand that, but it's a little different here. Are you ready for that kind of scrutiny?
I put pressure on myself to be great every day. So I'm excited about the opportunity. Like I said, at Virginia Union, the expectations were high. You know, every year they expect to win the CIAA and go win a national championship. So, you know, I understood it, and like I said, it went to sound the history, the tradition, passion. I'm here for it. I'm like I said, I'm gonna take it one day at a time. But you know, I'm gonna build the team the right way, and we're gonna have guys that are gonna be excited about, you know, wearing the Winston-Salem uniform, and they're gonna go out and play hard for the fans, play hard for their family, play hard for the school. And like I said, we're excited about just, you know, just getting here, building the team. And we're just going to keep working hard each day to just stack great days. And I'm looking forward.
A.D. Burns, I've been trying to sit here and think of how I was going to pose this question, because it's nothing outrageous. But, you know, your background before you came here to Winston-Salem State in your capacity, you were not at HBCUs. And, you know, you've heard, and at least I've heard as a student at an HBCU and been around HBCUs, the administration sometimes isn't as buttoned up as it should be. And from you coming from different perspectives, is it any different? Is it similar? Is it all hogwash, or is it just people? And once you get the right people in place, then it should run like it should.
Now, so I did work at HBCU before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was at Fayetteville State for a little over 4 years.
Okay.
But I think, going back to your question, it's really about having the right people in place.
Mm-hmm.
The right people, and then, again, it stopped with the top, from the vision and that leadership. And then, it, you know, everything, you know, trickles down from there. But again, I think it's very important to bring in the right people, the right talent, and look at, you know, how you can mesh, you know, from when you look at, for instance, if I take our current position, I'm looking at where we're vulnerable. And those are the spots that skill set that I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
That's the skill set that I'm going to go look for someone when I, you know, as we begin to build a team in athletics. So, but again, it starts with getting the right people, you know, again, and changing the mindset. You know, I often, you know, we talk HBCU and people talk about culture,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about tradition. And sometimes I think maybe you hold on to, you want to embrace tradition, but some of the ways of tradition,
mm-hmm.
in order to evolve and you know, move the university forward, you have to, you know, again, embrace tradition, but you have to move past some of those ways. You know, so some of the ways that we have may allow us or slow us down, you know, as far as our progress.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think it all starts with having the right people in place and that vision being set.
Coach Burns, I got a question. I talked to Coach Terry last year about the kids that play ball these days, and she made a joke about how they think they're working hard, but they're not really working hard. You know, they think they do a few things in practice, and they really think they're working. And she'll come by and bust a bubble and say, "You hadn't really worked hard today." Is that an issue? Do you see with that with this kid? Do they work hard as they did back when you played, or is it more of a is it a mindset? Do these kids come to work these days? And I'm even not talking about the kids you're recruiting. I'm just in general. When you deal with kids these days?
I talk to coaches all the time, and mm-hmm. we go back and forth. And, you know, it's just all the kids, you know, like back in the 90s, you know, play mm-hmm. on the blacktop. I think those days are over with. The kids, you know, they play in development, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're very skilled. And what I try to do as a coach is just try to have a balance with them. You know, I try to push. I coach extremely hard, you know, but I'm going to love them even harder. But, you know, I try to get the max out of them. And, you know, and I recruit a lot of guys, you'll see. So, you know, for me, I'm just looking for kids to buy in. You know, if they buy in and then the ones that, you know, don't, then it end up, might not work out, and there's no hard feelings. But I just try to get kids to come in and buy in and get them to kind of, you know, compete at a high level. And, you know, that's the one thing that, you know, allow us to be successful.
What's your opinion of today's AAU circuit? It's changed a lot from when my kid, even when my kid just a few years ago was playing AAU. And do the kids get there? It seems like the focus of AAU is just playing a lot of games and not necessarily teaching the game.
Yeah.
Is that your opinion?
Oh, definitely. I want to say the player development part is definitely out. it's just a lot of playing, a lot of showcasing, and you got a lot of kids that's very talented, but you're missing out on those kids that really need the player development, and sometimes you got the one and dones, the guys that come in as a freshman. You know, but what about the guys that got to stay for 2, 3, and 4 years? They need the player development, and I think we're missing out a little bit on the in the recreation, and you move on to the AAU in the earlier ages where the development part, and I think we're missing out a little bit, and I think that's where the international is basically taking off, because they do a lot of player development at an early age.
Are you finding that you're having to teach a lot more of the fundamentals instead of maybe intermediate to advanced concepts with these kids that you're getting these days?
Yeah, and that definitely. Division II, you don't get a lot of time. You know, they want you to prepare. And first, you got about 30 days, and then you're looking at you're playing a conference challenge with the Atlantic region, the Northeast, and the PSAC. So it's tough to try to get the player development part in, and you find yourself trying to pick it up fast with putting in all your plays and trying to develop defensive good habits and different things like that. But you recruit guys that you say, hey, you don't have a lot of time to prepare, so you just ask. And when you're recruiting, you try to go to those high schools that really, coaches that have been there 25, 30 plus years that's doing the teaching. And you try to recruit those kids that at least kind of give you a leeway on, doing a lot of things you want to do on a high level.
Mm-hmm. A.D. Burns, this is probably going to be my last question. I think this is about as much as I can wring out of this tonight. he said PSAC, and that sparked something in my mind. We seem to get flipped around into regions a lot here lately. I like when they moved us down to Super Region 2, because then we were in the same region as the SAAC. I think there's some natural rivalries and some games that could have sparked from that, but now they flipped us back up to Super Region 1, so we're dealing with like the Mountain East and the PSAC and the Northeast 10, whereas we don't necessarily jail with a lot of those schools, especially when football season rolls around. Who determines what region are we in? Do we have any say-so in that? Because I think I liked it better when we were dealing with the PSAC and what's the other? We're Catawba, their conference, and more local schools here, Lenoir Ryan, and the teams in our area.
SAC.
Yeah, SAC. Yeah. So.
I'm going to be honest with you with that. I think that's more of at a commissioner's level. Mm-hmm. So from ADs, that's, feeding the commissioners with feedback as to what we would like to see. And then, at a commissioner's level, them, having that conversation. So we don't per se, we have members on the, RAC and different committees. And they can all talk about experiences. But I think at that level, you're talking about from a, more commissioners getting the commissioner involved and having them advocate for more of the conference as a whole.
Because, it'd be cool to see Morehouse stroll through here in an early out-of-conference game at basketball, or see Tuskegee flow through here in football or games like that. I mean, I think those type of games, I think, would benefit us more than going to play Clarion or going to play IUP in Indiana. Well, I think I want to see IUP again.
Yeah,
in
I would like to see IUP.
Yeah, I want to see IUP again. Yeah. Matter of fact, in football, we sent them home. Matter of fact, I did the game where the new national championship at Indiana University was the head coach at IUP when we beat them here in the playoffs. Kurt Cignetti was the head coach at IUP when they came to play Winston-Salem State in the in the D2 playoffs, and they got sent home with an L. and then he went on to be national champion. So this program is significant. This athletic department is significant. I appreciate you two gentlemen coming to sit down and talk with us and spend a little time with us. Hopefully this won't be the last time. I think Brian had laid out what we intend to do with you, Coach Butler, on the year, and hopefully A.D. Burns, we'll get you to stop in sometime during the football season because we're going to be talking to Coach Woodbury every Monday night and dissecting what happened there. So, again, gentlemen, I appreciate you coming in. Thank you for sitting down. You're so gracious with your time. We appreciate it. Anytime you think you got something to say, you want to come in and talk to us, those chairs are yours. Okay? Gentlemen, thank you for coming. That's going to do it for tonight's Coach's Corner.
Thanks,
this is Alan Chavis, Coach Jay Butler, and newly minted AD Eric Burns. This is Alan Chavis saying good night. God bless you. Go Rams.
You've been listening to a special edition of Rams Coach's Corner, the go-to place for all things Rams athletics, with your host, WSNC color analyst Alan Chavis. Tune in during the season for more Rams Coach's Corner on 90.5 WSNC.
WSNC
90.5 FM.